Hey, it's Tommy Thayer from KISS. You're listening to Podcast Rock City. Check it out.
Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hello, hello.
Mr. Sonny Hollywood Pooney.
What's up, Bob? I'm not feeling too good. I ate some cereal that was sitting around here in a box for 6 months.
Was it red and it had a demon on the cover?
Yeah, and it makes your tongue red, and it makes for some reason, the milk green. I don't know why.
That doesn't make any sense. And joining us again this week is Mr. Joey Quesada.
Whoa. That was that the correct pronunciation of my name?
Not only that, but it was my way that you're going to be announced when you become a professional wrestler.
Woo!
Oh no, you can't do that. That's trademarked.
Well, how many O's is trademarked? I use 6.
Oh, that's true. Good point. Hey, thank you guys for listening to Podcast Rock City. Thank you for listening now, last week and every other week. You guys have been awesome. I know that we have a captive audience, and that makes it great for our show, great for entertainment, hopefully. You know what? There's a little bit of news that I found. I don't know what you guys found, I guess we're going to have a good – this episode, the conversation as far as the topic of the week is going to be – I don't know. I feel like we might lose our minds, especially Mr. Hollywood. But what's that? What was that? Is everybody okay?
Yep.
I think Sonny fell. Did Sonny?
No, that wasn't me, dude. Oh.
Okay. Okay, so let's go ahead and get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
So, as far as KISS news goes, the only thing that I've actually seen was that there is no news about the cruise. There is no news about the tour. There is no news about anything.
Well, I'll tell you something I heard.
Okay.
Some musician friends in Sacramento, they're talking about there's clubs, especially in Europe, that are talking about no gigs for 2 years.
Holy shit.
2 years?
2 years.
Jesus.
Wow.
And, these guys don't have any publishing, right? Because he's playing a replacement guy in a band. So it's like, he can't make any money.
I'll tell you what this really means. This means that Jody is going to need to learn how to wear a suit and a tie.
Dude. It's like, they just pushed us back to May, and I'm already tripping. It's like, you know, I'm ready to go back to work now. Not only that, but, I mean, my band just put out a record, and then now we can't even go play shows. You know what I mean? It's just...
Right.
All fucked up. But on the bright side, we got a new record coming in probably another week or two. I've been fucking writing
another
so many
record?
New songs. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that'll be out before you know it. So stay tuned for that one.
Jody Havnot, just pumping out the material.
Dude, I've been locked up since March 14th.
Good point.
Got nothing
point
better to do than podcast and write songs and try not to strangle the fucking kids.
Joey, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say I heard some of the same, rumblings throughout the music industry. I've heard you know, fall 2021, stuff like that. At least as far as big like shows goes, as far as arenas and stadiums and stuff like that. You know, I think clubs are going to be much sooner than that, even though it's, you know, it really should all be the same thing, whether it's a 500 people at a club or 20,000 at a arena. It really should be the same rules and laws. But I'm hearing that at least the big shows won't be seeing them until 2021.
Wow.
That's messed up. So what's the effect for the KISS final date? Is it just getting pushed back? Do they even play again, ever again?
Wow, 2021 is when the show was going to be. It wasn't going to be until July, right? So
right, but what about all those dates they had to cancel?
They passed. All right, we can't do them. Sorry, guys. You know,
guys, I mean, that's actually a crazy question. What? I don't even know. What was the last show they just did recently?
I don't know, but what if that's the last?
That's what I mean. Yeah. That's what I was getting at. Yeah.
I don't know when the last one was.
They did. I know they did L.A., but that wasn't the last one, right? The Forum, or did that get canceled? No, that was there because Paul said his father wanted to come, but he couldn't come.
Yeah, so, I don't think they played Sacramento recently, because I think Julian was talking about it, going to it. He had been there.
Dang.
Hold on, I'm looking it up.
Okay. This is just becoming, it's just getting worse and worse for us. It's like, I would feel comfortable if they said, hey, you could go to a concert, but everybody's got to wear a official, you know, mask. I'm fine with that. We'll go.
I don't know, dude. You're crazy.
Well, I'm not really. I mean, how about this? I'll be super excited when they start testing people in this state to see if you've already had corona. Because then what they should do, especially if you built up the antibodies, you know, and the chances of you getting it again are like super small, if that's what they say, give me a little certificate. Pow! Let me in. I'm good. You know?
Looks like the last show was March 10th, Lubbock.
Okay.
Texas. Wow.
That would be a weird finale if that turns out to be a finale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The infamous Lubbock show.
I mean, you never know, guys. I mean, obviously, you know, the way the world is going, not only concerts, you know, might be postponed forever, but obviously, you know, not to bring it up, the guys in KISS are all getting older and stuff. So you never know, God forbid something happened to one of them during this 6 months or whatever, we're going to be laid off from everything. It's crazy to think about.
Well, maybe the tour starts back up, except Eric and Tommy continue with two other guys and Gene and Paul's makeup for the finale of the tour. Yeah. I'm kidding. That's a joke. People would shit themselves.
Be pretty wild, that's for sure.
Yeah, that would be all of a sudden there's all these sales online for tickets. You can get front row for $8. That would be awesome.
What if they just do like like an empty venue pay-per-view where the KISS has the full show but no one's in there and they just stream it out
for the final show?
Yeah.
I would think that would be a horrific way for KISS to go out.
Totally.
I don't think that they would ever do that. I think that and I think you guys would agree with me that they would rather not play a show than do something like that. Sonny?
I don't know. Money money-wise? I mean, money-wise, that's better than, you know, Tommy and Eric going out there and you get a Kiss and Gene hologram.
Like, no, that's true. Know,
I don't know. I still think, like, see, clubs, I don't have a fix for clubs. I don't know what to do with clubs. I don't think the mass thing is going to work. But at arenas, you could do mask plus social distancing, because if everything's seated, you could only sell like every four seat. Now,
yeah,
it doesn't cover all of the expenses it would normally cover, but it's like, do you want at least a fourth of what you would get, or you want zero of what you would get? That's an uneducated opinion. I don't know anything about booking gigs and any of that crap, but if you can't do it in an arena where you could spread out, I don't see how you could do it in a club.
No. I think the testing for people to find out if you've already had it is going to be a big deal. I think in California, I just read online that they've done testing, and from what they can tell, probably 2 million more people have had it than what they're advertising.
Yeah, I think so, I had it, dude. I think you probably did too.
Yeah, back in February, everybody got sick. Yeah, dude. Everybody got
sick.
Yeah,
fucking down for the count, man, for like a week and a half.
One minute, I'm enjoying AEW. Two days later, I'm laid up.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, when I came home from the Jericho cruise, I was laid up for like 10 days straight. I was probably the sickest I've ever been. Crazy, sick. And, you know, I didn't even know anything about this virus back then. You know what I mean? Nobody knew anything. Yeah. And I had all the symptoms. I had everything. And now that they're saying that, you know, the virus was probably really in the United States more like January, I'm convinced I possibly had it. So it's like, you never know. And the question is, can you get it again? Nobody knows yet, I think, right?
Well, I think they're saying that it's a lot like the flu. Once you get that certain strain, it would be hard for you to get it again because your body has built up antibodies. Okay, I'm not a fucking doctor, but Karen is like on the shit because she does HR and she's really got to keep an eye on everything that's going on as far as what the doctors are saying and everything. And from what I understand, what she said was it's just like the flu. You know, there's a different strain of the flu every year.
Sure.
You have to keep getting, you know, they keep updating their shots and shit like that. So the reason why that is because if you catch it, your body builds up a wall to fight it off for the next time in case you ever get exposed to it or something like that. But, you know, just keep watching the news and learning, you guys out there. And we'll wait and see. But I promise you that first concert happens. I cannot wait to watch the video of how many people either do or don't stream into that place.
Yeah. Is there? You guys think there's any chance that Devereaux is behind all of this?
Maybe. Bastard. Maybe. All right. So that was a lot of fun. I'm a little surprised that we had a conversation about whether or not we're ever going to be doing concerts again. Because in my lifetime, in our lifetimes, this conversation, if somebody would have said 10 years ago, one day you're going to talk about never seeing a rock concert. It's like, what? No. Anyway. All right. So that was the news of the week. I want to do this real quick. Last week, I put out a question for you guys to answer. If you listen to the show and you took the time to send in an email to me, basically I gave a trivia question. And the trivia question was, who painted the Love Gun album cover? And a bunch of people sent in the answer. Man, I really appreciate it. It shows how much time we have on our hands that people are sending emails. I'm just saying. Anyway, I've taken all the names, and I'm going to do the drawing at the end of the show for the KISS prize. So stick around, listen to the show, and yeah, maybe one of you guys out there listening has won, and you don't even know it because this is taped. And with that being said, let's get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
So, topic of the week. Joey picks it every last Sunday of the month, last show of the month. And this time, Joey picked. What'd you pick, Joey?
So, I was back and forth with this one. This is something that I always thought about. And it's actually, there's an image online that really made me think about this question. And the question is, should KISS have marketed The Elder more towards the sci-fi fantasy fans in the early 80s? Meaning, did they just blow the marketing on The Elder?
Well, okay, so I'm going to go ahead and get started by this, and I'm going to tell you. And Joey, you have the DVD in your bookshelf of all of the TV appearances and shit like that, right?
I do.
Okay, and you've watched The Elder One, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so maybe, just maybe, the idea of marketing The Elder, when it was passed to people, nobody should have ever said, we're going to go on Flo and Eddie, and we're going to take stuffed animals with Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley, and we're going to light toilet paper on these hula hoops, and they're going to throw this stuffed poodle or whatever the fuck it was through back and forth, and our guys are going to come out looking cool as shit. So...
Listen, I totally agree with that. You know, I would love to just give a little disclaimer for this question of the week. If we can, and I know it's hard to do, but also if there's a way to kind of maybe go back in time and Kiss was still popular. Obviously, you know, the Kiss Elder experience failed not just because of the album and the marketing, but because Kiss was really already dead at that point. So right. Let's also try to imagine... Kiss is still popular at this point. Let's say Kiss Dynasty's done, even though Dynasty wasn't the biggest hit in the world. Dynasty is done, and they go, they're still popular, and they go into this Elder era, still with that some momentum of that supergroup Kiss. I'd love to try to think of this question with that in mind, rather than because everything is predicated on Kiss is already dead at this time. So, of course, no marketing change would have really helped the Elder. But if they were still popular, could they really have done something different to help this album along?
Okay, since Sonny's answer is going to be the funniest, I would really like to hear Sonny.
What?
Right. Sonny's, I can give you Sonny's answer. All right, here's how they market this. Go in the studio and make
and do better.
Creatures of the Night.
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, And I'll get to the if they were still popular, but really you're looking for a miracle here. Because if our beloved Pat Benatar became Britney Spears and then became Debbie Boone, we'd be all pissed off. And that's exactly what happened to Kiss, right? So I guess that's beside the point. If they're still big, I don't know if they need to go to the sci-fi crowd. Because I think, in my personal opinion, they already have most of the sci-fi crowd. I think you got to be... on one of the top TV shows, you got to be the precursor to some of the movies that are getting released. Like, you've got to be, if you're still popular, you got to connect a popular culture. So I went and looked at a few things, right? Like the top TV shows, the five top TV shows at the time were Alice, Three's Company, The Jefferson, 60 Minutes in Dallas. I don't know how they're going to get on any of those five, because that probably is not going to happen. The Jeffersons would have been very interesting. Movie-wise, the top five movies are Arthur, Striped, 9 to 5, Superman 2, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Now, Raiders of the Lost Ark and Superman 2, you could be the commercial that starts that movie. That is possible. You could have had a, let's say, Blondie do a duet with Paul on the album, because Blondie had the number one song in 1980. Right, that's one way. Or you have Kim Carnes do something because she had the biggest song in 1981. There's got to be something that connects to popular culture, and they just got too far away from it. And the only way to do that is you got to be in other parts of popular culture. Because this is how Will Smith does it. This is how Justin Timberlake's doing it. This is how Bruno Mars is trying to do it. Like, that's how it's happening now, and it's always been that way.
Sonny, I actually think you're hitting the point right on the head, but I'm looking at it from almost like a different angle. Of course, those are the most popular movies. Kiss is not going to be in Stripes and, you know, WKRP, whatever the shows are super popular at that time. That's not their market. But my question is more towards, you know, back in the early 80s, there were these movies coming out that I was a big fan of back then and still am today. And I think the Kiss fan base is probably a fan of too. Things like Dragon Slayer, Clash of the Titans, that type of stuff. Even the game Dungeons and Dragons. All of that stuff was that nerdy type culture that they call it today, even though, you know, I loved it at the time. I played Dungeons and Dragons all the time. I feel like The Elder, if you would have went more of that route, like the dragons and the fantasy, even, you know, the story really is all about that type of stuff. It's that fantasy, you know, Lord of the Rings type story. if they would have went that route, especially, of course, with the cover, if they would have gone this fantasy mystical route rather than, you know, this brown door, even just the cover, seeing this stuff on the cover would have been, to me, captivating that whole audience of Dungeons and Dragons and all these popular movies at the time based off these fantasies, you know, even Conan the Barbarian coming out shortly after that, I think.
Right.
That type of, that's the genre that I'm looking at. Of course, they're not going to go for the author and, you know, stripes and stuff like that. But I think this other subculture that was super popular in the, you know, the nerdy, more nerdy type community, I think Kiss could have capitalized on that. And I think they just, I think they were scared because of what happened with Kiss Meets the Phantom.
Totally.
I think that we can start with the cover. They blew it with the cover. You know, everybody knows that when they're going to buy a Kiss record, the first thing you're going to see is Kiss. So they blew it with that. And obviously, the way Joey's describing the cover would be cool, but they didn't do any of that. They did something that made you have to use your imagination before you knew what the record was about, or to understand before the record knew what the record was about. Now, and I'm wondering if, just for instance, that's why in other countries it got released with a sleeve of paper in front of it that had picture of the band in their costumes for the Elder. I apologize. I don't know if they came out at the same time. I don't know if they came out before or after. I don't know. But I'm imagining that the album came out in the States, and then when it came out in Japan, they said, it isn't selling. People are going, where's the band? And they said, let's put a sleeve in there with a picture of the guys and see if that helps. Jody?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the biggest mistake is, okay, it's called Music from the Elder. There's nothing, there's no movie, there's nothing. You know what I mean? They could have done a comic book. They could have done an animated thing. Like, you know, that movie Heavy Metal, that came out in 1980. If they would have had an Elder animated kind of thing, that, you know, this Music from the Elder was actually from something, I think that would have helped. But I think Joey's right on the money, man. You get like a... You ever seen any of those old D&D Dungeons Masters guides with that kind of like art that's kind of like a Frazetta kind of looking thing or Ken Kelly looking thing? You have an art like that. You have a comic book or some type of feature, whether it's a movie or it's an animated flick. I think that would have made all the difference in the world if Kiss was still popular at the time.
Yeah. How do you put this record out without having Ken Kelly paint you a cover? You know, yeah. That's mystical and exactly the way we're talking about. Look, going back and rethinking the way basically being that armchair quarterback or that Monday morning quarterback and going, well, this is how they should have done it. You know, shit. But who was in the room with them? Who was sitting there going, this is a great idea? Obviously...
Coked up Ezrin.
Obviously the nobody from the label said, hey, hold on, what's this, explain this to me. Because now the record, when you open it up, it doesn't it have something on the inside that kind of explains what the Elder is about, right?
Yeah, but with the shit brown cover, how many people even bought it to find out what's in the inside?
To find out.
You know, I think their thought process was, again, too smart for their own good. You know, they saw what Pink Floyd's The Wall did with just a white wall as a cover. I think they were thinking along those lines. Of course, brown is obviously not a good choice. But, you know, I think they were thinking of along the lines of simple... smart. We're smarter than everyone else. Look at us musically now. You know, they were thinking along those lines. They were almost trying to, like, you know, they've said it a million times in interviews, appease the critics with their songwriting and their matureness, where, you know, they should have went almost the opposite route, which was towards this fan base of this fantasy fan base, which they really already had. I think Jody really hit it right on the head, which I totally forgot about, that heavy metal cartoon. If they would have done something along those lines with that cool animation, remember that cartoon Akira?
Yeah.
Stuff like that, like a crazy animated feature with these songs, with I have this great graphic that I saw online, and I kind of doctored it up a little bit to make it even cooler. I just sent you guys the text of the picture. It's to me, it would have been the perfect idea. It's not the exact cover that what I've used, but maybe we can share it with the audience too when we post this episode. I just think it embodies what the Elder should have been.
And yeah, go ahead, Sonny.
Yeah, I like this cover, except for, you know, Paul doing the Playboy pose. Like, can he be like attacking the dragon? Maybe.
Right. I mean, obviously it's Photoshop, but right. Yeah, of course. Ken Kelly or a fantasy artist like Franzetta painting a fantasy dragons type cover, dragons and Vikings or castles and magic with the Kiss characters, like you said, fighting this dragon. Not cartoony like the Kiss comic books, but more fantasy based like Love Gun and Destroyer.
Yeah.
Didn't Yngwie Malmsteen have something like that on a cover?
He did. Yeah, trilogy, but it's years later. Yeah, years later.
Right, that's what I'm saying, though. I mean, so, and when people think of Kiss album covers, they don't think a door with a door knocker on it. That's for damn sure.
Right.
They just don't. And I think their idea was imagination, but they didn't use any when it came to the album cover. And then when you open it, it's a fucking table.
Right. I mean, listen, I tell the story in my book, you know, and I've told it on this show before. When I went to get the Elder the first time, and I didn't know the Elder was even out, when I saw that cover and I saw the Kiss logo in the corner, I still had no idea, is this really a Kiss album? And it was the exact opposite reaction as when I saw the cover for Creatures of the Night. Creatures of the Night was excitement and energy and holy God, what am I looking at right now? Look at this new character and this purple glow and this fantasy, you know, demons looking cover. And the Elder gave me the exact opposite. It gave me nothing to go by. So, you know, when you open it and you start listening to it, I think people already had this preconceived notion as, oh, what the hell is this going to be? And you can't start anything like that. You have to start with excitement. Whereas Creatures, you start with excitement. You hear the drum intro to Creatures of the Night, you're excited. Maybe if the Elder had the same thing and you hear the Oath kick in, it would have created that excitement.
Well, the other thing is that Kiss, at this point in their career, you can't just sell a record by putting your name on it. That's not going to work. They needed a Love Gun cover more than Love Gun needed a Love Gun cover. You know, in 1978 or 1977, they could have put a record out and just wrote Kiss on it and people would have bought it. But when this album came out, no. They knew that they were on a downward trajectory. And so I wish I knew people out there that could like come up with an idea. Like I envision it like if the dragon is really coming at them. And, I mean, the story, I don't, you know, with the dragon and all, but still with the dragon coming towards them, you know, Ace could be standing there with like fire coming out of his hands and Paul could be shooting, you know, or laser out of his eye. Who the fuck knows? Gene could be shooting fire out of his ass or whatever at the dragon. And Eric Carr could just be standing there going, I don't know what to do. I don't have any powers.
No, he's just standing there smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
And again, it to me, it just goes back to the original question. Did they blow the marketing because, you know, they wanted to do something smart rather than comic booky and fantasy? I think that's where they blow it. You know, they started to get a little, listen, I love Unmasked, but they started to get a little cutesy with the comic book cover and the poppy album. And then the Elder, they tried to get a little bit sophisticated and smart rather than keeping that audience that was captivated by Super Kiss and going to the next level and creating, you know, even more fantasy type Kiss. You know, Dio did it in the early 80s with the dragons and, you know, all that stuff. Even Maiden did it a little bit. And like you said, Yngwie did it a little. I think Kiss could have captured that market first and really sold to that market. And I think they would have bought it.
I'm so surprised that by right now you could go online and you could find a bootleg cover of Creatures of the Night where they drew Vinnie Vincent in. You guys have all seen that, right?
Yeah.
I'm surprised nobody's come up with some kind of a better cover for the Elder. You know, that you could, that they could, that you could buy, and then you could, then you could take your Elder album and stick it in there, and it would be.
Well, after this episode, when we post this cover, I'd love to hear what people's thoughts are on the dragon concept. You know, again, it's quickly photoshopped. It's not the greatest concept in the world, but it's the idea. If you take this type of cover that we'll show you guys and make it more of a fantasy Franzetta Ken Kelly painting, would you guys have liked that?
Well, think about this, just for instance. Did you guys all read or collect or even see the Psycho Circus comic books?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Okay. What about that four issue? They had four different covers. They had Ace and Gene and Peter and Paul. When you slide them all together, they all made like a portrait. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Ace is floating in the air and Gene. That would have been something. Now, obviously, it came out, you know, 20 years later, but still, the right person. Too bad Todd McFarlane wasn't. But right. The right person for the album cover, damn, this could have really, really worked out. I'm surprised. But besides that, right? I'm not even sure. Are there commercials for the record? Were there commercials? Were there, their TV appearances are, except for Fridays. Fridays is badass. Right?
Yeah.
We all love Fridays. I remember the first time I saw it, I was probably a couple years after The Elder came out, but you know, it was like a late night Saturday night thing that it was a rerun. But now that's badass, man. That's pretty cool. And when you listen to them play it live, the music sounds good. But as far as everything else, I mean, what else did they do? All I can think of is Flo and Eddie. I mean, that just unfortunately pops into my head immediately.
Yeah.
Is, you know, how embarrassing or embarrassed they must have been.
I mean, even Solid Gold, they did Solid Gold. Right. And that's listen, I love that performance, but it's not their marketplace. It's, you know, again, it's the cause and effect. It's, they were unpopular at the time, and marketing wise, they took whatever they could get. You know, they weren't getting, you know, the big mainstream things anymore. Even though Solid Gold was pretty popular at the time, it was a mistake to do something, a show like that, and Flo and Eddie, and like you said, with the puppets and all that stuff. Their marketing campaign was what it was because they took what they could get, I think. Yeah. So again, if we could, there's any way to erase that from our minds and, you know, from the history books and make believe that, you know, they were still pretty popular at this point. You know, they know they made a mistake with The Elder, and that's why they did this fantasy type cover, which was Creatures of the Night with the lightning and the glow, the purple blue glow. They knew that was their marketplace. They knew they had to kind of show people, hey, we're back. This is really what we're about. And I just think they got too cute for their own good.
Yeah. I was watching that Elder Media Collection last night, you know, I was thinking, you know, it's kind of crazy, like, they probably have more TV appearances in the Elder era than any other era in makeup, besides, you know, reunion stuff. I think that's crazy.
Yeah, and I think TV's more available at that point too, right? Because TV's increasing every year they're together.
Yeah.
And more people, like when I was growing up, not everybody I knew had a TV, right? But by the time you fast forward to mid-80s, everybody's got two TVs.
Yeah.
So I think that was still building too, but they definitely missed on the album cover. There's no doubt about that. And I'm surprised that, you know, they would have never been able to be in a movie because then you would have to see it coming, right? Because a movie's getting made 6 to 8 months before it's happening. So that part they probably wouldn't be able to do, but the album cover is absolute. And it's, well, you got to also get away from the Coke. The Coke is not helping all this. That's part of the problem.
One of the things that we do know is that there was a script. There was a movie script because when they had those Kiss auctions years ago, if you get that book with the auction, all the stuff that they were auctioning, if you flip through it, one of the things in there is a script for The Elder. So that is obviously the direction that they had hoped it would go in. But how do you put a record out for a movie that you haven't made that it just it doesn't make any sense?
And you have a manager that's in film, right? A coin knows film. There's no doubt about it. But it's possible, conspiracy theory. Bill's like, this movie idea is stupid, and I can't get them to listen, so we're just not doing it. And then they ain't got no choice.
You could be right. And you know, do you guys think that the failure of Kiss Meets the Phantom also plays into this? Like, we can't go that route again because that didn't work.
But see, I'm not sure that I would consider it a failure because it did I think they wonderfully. Did,
they definitely did, but though. Yeah,
they did. Yeah, you're not going to get Paul killing the dragon through his eye on the elder after they just, you know, basically got killed 2 years, 3 years prior. That, like, I don't think that'll happen.
Right. What if, like, the people that made The Matrix were a few years ahead and they had The Matrix ready to go with the Elder?
Awesome.
Yeah. Imagine what would have happened then. We might be talking about the Elder as the greatest thing Kiss ever fucking did. You know what I mean?
Well, that's a good point, because if Phantom does unbelievably amazing,
yep,
then maybe Bill is like, you know what? It is a good idea to do a movie. Let's put out a movie, then we'll put out a soundtrack right after it.
And I mean, and being fair, it's not Kiss's fault that Phantom didn't look great, you know, or do well, or whatever we want to say. Obviously, financially and ratings-wise, it did great. It was the second most watched thing of the whole year. But
I mean, to me, they could say, well, I still enjoy that movie. I think it was exactly them at the time. I think, you know, they may look back at it now and cringe and stuff like that. But I loved it. You know, the comic book, and then to follow the comic book with something like that, to me, it's just the natural progression of what Kiss was going through back then. They weren't the scary band from 1974, 1975 anymore. They would be on their route to Super Kiss, which was more of a family oriented, you know, this whole pop culture genre. It wasn't just heavy metal, scare the fans with blood and demons and stuff like that. It was, you know, this became a pop culture phenomenon with the toys and the games and the color forms. And, you know, just because they look back at Phantom as a failure, I don't think it was either. I think it was exactly what Kiss was at the time. Of course, could it have been a little bit better? Of course, but a lot of things back then could have been better. This was a TV movie. This wasn't Star Wars. This right. was made for TV. And I think the budget and the effects was exactly what TV was back then. Look at the old Wonder Woman TV show or other stuff that was on TV at that time. It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Now, that's where they might have missed the boat. Like, could you have gotten in a big movie that's getting made in 76 or 77 that's not getting released till 78 or 79, or be in a movie in 78 that gets released in 80. Now that keeps your, especially if you're in a major motion picture, then that keeps you going. But you would have had to think about that long ago. You know what I mean? If you're going to be in a movie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I remember reading that they wanted Kiss to be the bad guys in Sergeant Pepper.
I remember that. I read that too.
So they wanted Kiss to be the bad guys, but they were really picking up popularity and heading towards that Super Kiss thing, and they didn't want to become the bad guys, so they got Aerosmith to do it. But
it's even more cringy than the Phantom, though, dude. That shit's rough.
Well, there you go. And they kept making movies.
Yeah, but I think Sonny brought up a good point. I think almost an even better question is, if Kiss Meets the Phantom was a big hit, and maybe not even a big hit, like you said, it was technically a success, but if Kiss and the Kiss infrastructure looked at it as, wow, this was great, where do they go from there? Do they do more stuff like that and try to really, really capitalize on that? And maybe the Elder becomes what we're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, if Phantom was popular, they might have went the route of Elvis or the Beatles, where they started doing lots of movies, you know?
Yeah.
It could have sure, totally but, changed things. But at the same time, all right, so now we've been talking about it being popular, but would the music have allowed that to happen? Let's think about that now. The album cover is great. The story is great. Everybody's excited for it. And then drop the needle, and the first thing they hear, you know, is "I am just a boy," which is the way Kiss wanted to put it out, but the record label didn't let them. And let's be fair, the record label was right.
Absolutely.
You dropped a needle on a Kiss record, it should be balls to the wall. It screws up the whole story.
I gotta tell you, I mean, listen, obviously this is in retrospect. Everything we're talking about is years later. This is not at the time. But I almost disagree. I think if you set the person's mind up with the right mind frame going into The Elder with this fantasy cover, and or like Jody said about the like a heavy metal type of cartoon type of animation to go along with it, at the same time, not after the fact, meaning let's say the movie comes out exactly at the same time as the album. So you start seeing the animation right away, and then Just a Boy kicks in, you know, with this boy on a river or whatever it is, you know, like this fantasy movie opening up. I think it works when you have the mindset of a Kiss album and you put on Just a Boy and you think you're getting Love Gun. Yeah, of course, it's a complete failure. It doesn't work. But I think if you set the audience up the correct way, and I think that's really the basis of my first question was, did they market this wrong? If you set that audience up and say, this is what this is. You know, when I saw, I don't know if you guys were fans of like the Lord of the Rings or the Hobbit cartoons back then. Do you guys see that stuff?
I remember those, sure.
I saw it.
I mean, I still love the goofy, you know, music in those cartoons because they remind me of watching that great, great story and reading that book. It's not that I would never put on the record if I never knew the visuals of it,
right.
But the visuals to go along with the audio makes it what it is.
Totally.
The other thing is as far as magazine appearances go, I have the 16 magazine that, you know, the front had a picture of Gene, and it was like, I can't remember exactly what it says, but it's something to the effect of the new Kiss look. And then you open it up and there they are, haircut and all that stuff. But here's something else to think. This album is very, it's not for a 7-year-old. It's not for a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old. Kids were into Kiss. Little kids were into Kiss at the time this came out. So if you put this really educated, I don't know if I want to use that word really, but thought out, thinking person's record where you got to follow the whole thing. There's no real, the hooks aren't really there. It's not, you know, one word choruses, Love Gun, you know. Are the 10-year-olds getting it if a 10-year-old listens to it?
I don't know. But if you put it with like a movie, probably they would, you know?
Yeah.
It's almost like they're turning their backs on those fans, right? So your fans grow, if you're thinking that your fans grow with you, then the kid fans are now becoming rebel teenagers. They're not going to understand any of this crap. See, I agree with you, Joe, that if the music was, you know, would people have forgiven the music if it was marketed differently? Honestly, I don't think they gave a shit what anybody thought about the music because they were trying to leave that fan base behind almost. Because if they're looking at the charts, what they put out isn't what was on the charts.
Yeah,
I totally agree with that. I think, you know, someone had posted online a couple of days ago. I forget who it was. There was a picture of Ace, and I think he was at Peter's house, like during the Elder years, like 1981. Obviously, Peter was out of the band, and they looked like stockbrokers. Ace was dressed in like a sweater with a collared shirt sticking through, and Peter had this weird look. They just lost their way. They didn't look like Kiss anymore. They didn't have that fire, that edge, you know, when Joe said, you know, here's the new Kiss look with their short hair. And, you know, I think they got too smart for their own good, and they were, like you said, Sonny, they were trying to leave that certain fan base behind and try to, they were marketing it towards the critics, and we want to be the, you know, respected. We want, you know, we have the fans, we have the money, now we want respect. And I think it was the opposite. They should have gone the other way.
Yeah.
The kids really loved Dynasty. They got into Unmasked. And then all of a sudden you're going, I mean, is it possible that they were thinking what Joey's saying? Hey, this is going to, the kids that love dragons and mysterious shit like that are going to love this. Is it possible that that's what they were thinking and just didn't have the, like, if you're going to do something like that, you hire the people that do that kind of gaming and that kind of storytelling and that everything in order to make it work.
Yeah, I think, I mean, listen, you know, Dragon Slayer and Clash of the Titans and even, like I said, Dungeons and Dragons and those Lord of the Rings cartoons at the time, those were marketed for, you know, the young adult, you know, 12, 10, 12, 13 years old. They weren't marketed for little kids or, you know, adults. They were marketed for the fan base that KISS could have captured and kept. And I think they were going along those, that route, at least as far as the storyline. It's a, you know, it's the typical boy, you know, doesn't know that he's the savior, and, you know, he becomes the savior, and he has to fight the forces of evil. It's Star Wars, yeah, just in a fantasy setting. And even Star Wars is, you know, is the age old story of the boy rescue, you know, saving the world from the evil, you know, corrupt bad guy. It's the same old story being told over and over again. It's just told different ways. So KISS wasn't breaking new ground or even attempting to break new ground with this story. They knew the story was a success because it's been tried and tried and tried over and over again. It's always a success. It's just, I think they just failed on the marketing.
Yeah. It's either the marketing or the music. I mean, we're kind of making believe that at the time this music would go over, but in reality, it was the furthest thing from what people wanted to hear. You know what I mean? I mean, Back in Black was already out and was way, way more rocking. You know what I mean? And Maiden and all these bands. And then KISS is doing just a boy. You know what I mean? It just wasn't the wrong move.
Yeah. And KISS, I'm with you, Jody. I think what's happening there is you got Ezrin, and, you know, he's in Paul's and Gene's ear about, have you guys ever had an album that ran number one 15 weeks in a row? I did last year. It's called The Wall.
Yeah.
Thought you guys wanted to be huge. This is how you get huge, as he's doing his next line of coke.
Right. The thing about The Wall, though, is like Pink Floyd's fans were older and smoking pot, whereas like if they're marketing to these children of KISS, they're not smoking pot yet. You know what I mean?
Right.
I even know for me as a kid, I didn't really start appreciating the elder until I became a stoner, because then it was like, whoa, this mystical journey. You know what I mean? But I don't know, man. Imagine if it would have like kicked off like Purple Rain, where you have the great songs and the great visuals. I mean, would be a totally different world right now for KISS. But unfortunately, they don't write as good songs as Prince did on Purple Rain, you know?
True. Do you think they gave up a little too soon on the record? It doesn't, it feels like they, if you go and you look at the things that they did do, I don't know. Do you think that they immediately said, oh my God, what are we doing? What, this didn't work as well. The record label came right out and said it. Ezrin said so. He said he put it on for the record execs, and they were like, bum, bum, bum. You know, we've all seen the video. And he was like, great, right? And I recently saw an interview with Ace Frehley, where they asked him about the elder, and he said something I'd never, ever heard him say. He said, "The Elder is a great album. It's not what I wanted to do at the time. It was the wrong album for KISS at the time." I never heard him say that it was great. I always thought that he just hated it, you know?
Hmm.
So in this interview, he said it was a great album. It's just not what he thought KISS should be doing. So
So let me ask you this. If it's not the right time for it, when would the right time be? I mean, it wouldn't be when Creatures was, and they couldn't have done it without makeup, right?
Have bands ever put out, has a band ever done a record, given it to the label, and then they went, no, go back, start over?
Oh, that probably happens constantly. Oh, yeah. We just don't know about it.
Sure.
So, should somebody have done that with Kiss?
Well, and I was thinking about this too, right? I'm like, okay, if I could go back and I can't erase the Elder, but I got to figure out a way to not let it have the effect that it had. The only thing I could really come up with is, all right, somebody's got, or somebody's, there's two or three people in this situation that think this is great shit. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go release it in Japan and Australia and see how it does, because you guys are still huge there. When it bombs there, we're going to reduce this to like three songs, throw out an EP, and then go and do Creatures.
Now, let me ask you guys this. Do you think that you take those songs off Killers and slap them on The Elder, take away a few songs? Oh, this could be a show. What four songs?
That would be bearable for me.
What four songs do you take away? It was four songs on Killers, right?
Yeah.
That were holdovers from The Elder. Who cut I'm a Legend Tonight? Who cut that? Who said
your coked
no
up friend?
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, again, I actually love the Elder. I think it's, you know, it makes Kiss what Kiss is best at. As much as I love 70s Kiss and my favorite album is, you know, Alive 2 or Rock and Roll Over, or, you know, I'm so happy that I don't have 30 albums like that. I'm happy to have the differences throughout the years. And I think it kept me a fan more than I would have been if it was just Love Gun throughout the whole career. I'm glad I got 80s poppy Kiss and hair metal Kiss and Creatures heavy Kiss and Revenge and even the Elder. And the way I'm looking at the Elder, songs like Just a Boy and Ridiculous Odyssey, I'm not thinking of them as I'm listening to Just a Boy like I'm listening to I Stole Your Love. I'm thinking of it as the soundtrack behind this great visual. And that's what I'm trying to come across with. It's that I see it as background music for this killer thing that they should have done at the time. And again, I'll go back to what Jody said earlier, some kind of animation like heavy metal at the time. It would have been, just pictured Just a Boy behind a great visual rather than listening to it like you're going to rock out to I Stole Your Love.
Yeah.
And so it all comes down to a visual, which they did not give us with the album cover.
Or a movie.
It's the beginning. Yeah, I think that's the start of everything. Is there's none of it. There's no visual at all. No movie. No album cover. Nothing to go along with this fantasy story they're trying to tell. Except .. a brown door. So it's like, what the hell?
Yeah. I think that's the biggest mistake. They needed some type of something. You know, if you're going to call it music from The Elder, there needs to be The Elder. You know what I mean? That's the big mystery that always bugged me.
All right, so let me be the record company guy in your meeting here. And I'm the guy that's saying, okay, guys, I know you guys want to put dragons and stuff on this thing, or you want to put the four faces on the front. I'm telling you, if you want people to accept this thing, don't even give them a hint of what the hell it is. Put a door on the album and people will buy it because they're intrigued. Otherwise, you ain't selling no copies of this shit.
I think you just summarized exactly what probably happened. I think that's the stuff that was happening. I think they thought they were bigger than they were. They're trying to be smarter than they were. Oh, we could put anything out. People are still going to buy it. You know, at that time, Super Kiss technically was still afloat because of the Australian tour. And, you know, their heads were still bigger than ever at that time. So it wasn't like they really bottomed out yet. Even though, you know, financially they might have been bottoming out. I think as far as ego-wise, they were, you know, worse than ever. So I think you're right. I think they said, oh, we could put anything out. And we're going to be mysterious. And people are going to be like, ooh, what is this? Whereas they should have done the opposite. They should have banged people over the head with it.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Don't forget, you can tell us what you think. Podcast RockCity1.
That's the number one.
@gmail.com. And you can send us your ideas on this. We got a bunch of Alive 3 set lists last week for the last show, including one from our own Joey Quesada. And we'll read those next week during the news. You guys have anything else with this? What do you think?
I think we said it all.
Yeah, I think everyone should give it another listen. Again, Joe, if we could share that image that I gave you guys.
Absolutely.
Share the image, and then everyone go back and listen to maybe even like the original track listing and visualize, or even put on the movie The Dragon Slayer, or, you know, Excalibur, or something along those lines. Put one of those old movies on, or Clash of the Titans, and have the Elder playing in the background, and maybe visualize what could have been. Do you feel any different about the album?
Hey, Sonny, are you going to do that?
No, but I might do it with I might do it with Trilogy, because I actually like that album.
Sonny and I are going to do a live stream on Instagram watching Clash of the Titans while listening to The Elder.
And you know what you're going to see on that live stream? Me in an empty chair with my headset on the chair.
It's so funny. As a matter of fact, somebody sent me, I'll really bring it up next week. Somebody sent a letter to us that was like, I cannot believe Sonny picked songs from The Elder to put in a live 3. That was pretty awesome. All right,
I love that episode, guys. I loved all that stuff. I loved the set list, all that stuff.
Thank you very much. We put out there who had the better set list, and I didn't tally it all up. So we'll do that for next week. I think Jody won, but I'm guessing. Anyway, yeah. So all right. So that's the end of the show, except for one thing. I have put all the names in the hat. I drew out a name, and the name for the contest that we had last week, that is the winner, is going to be Brian Chambers. Congratulations, Brian. Hey,
Brian.
B. Ryan, you won. And next week I'll do another one. But this week I'm not. Next week I'll do another one. Send me your address to podcastrockcity1. That's the number one @gmail.com. And as soon as I get to the mail, the post office, I will send out your prize. Anyway, thank you guys for being on. Joey, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, boys. Always a pleasure. I look forward to it every month.
Absolutely. Tell them the name of your book and where they could get it.
It is called Start With a Dream, A Drummer's Journey from Rock and Roll to TV to Broadway. It's on Amazon, and the audiobook is now available on iTunes. Again, great Elder stories in there if you're into it.
Absolutely. Jody?
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for joining us again, Joey. Always cool.
Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. Sonny?
Now, thanks for the support. And guys, go if you want to read Joey's book, you know, just you have to do nothing else for 3.5 months. Or if you want to listen to the audiobook, you just got to travel around the world 4 times and you'll have enough time.
We're in lockdown, you son of a bitch. It's a great time. What's the matter with you? Nobody's going anywhere for a few months. Order the book and read it.
Yeah, the book is fun. Okay, so hey, I want to let everybody out there know that I am in the process of talking with a t-shirt company about making Podcast Rock City t-shirts available to you guys, and you will probably know more about that next week. And when we do, then you can go and gobble them up, hopefully. And you know what I'm going to say? We love podcasts, and we love Kiss podcasts, most of them anyway. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones we love right after this in 3, 2, 1, peace.
Peace.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.